Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our program. Glad you're here listening. As you know, one of the subjects I am questioned about often is baptism. I have done a great deal of teaching on the subject in person, on the radio, in podcasts, in videos, other platforms. Now, I don't believe baptism is an issue that needs to divide Christians. However, I strongly discourage infant baptism just for the point of accuracy, and I do this because the biblical teaching is clear. Baptism is a conscious choice that a believer makes after giving his or her life to Jesus Christ. Well, not everybody agrees, including a woman who heard my teaching. She sent me a comment. I won't share her name, but I will share her comment. She says, read Acts 16:15 and 16:33. Notice that the person plus their whole household was baptized. Who do we find in a Jewish household? Lots of kids. Okay, let's start by reading these verses. First, Acts 16:15. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This passage is referring to a woman named Lydia, led to Christ by the Apostle Paul. Here's the scripture leading up to the verse I just quoted, just to give us some context here. And Luke, a companion of Paul, is reporting in the first person. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. All right, so you see, the point is it's Lydia's household that is being referenced here. Moving on to the next reference, different story, but still the same chapter, chapter 16, verse 33. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. And so, as you see, the reference here is to the family of a jailer. Paul and Silas had been unfairly arrested. Luke reports it, but it's happening to Paul and Silas. I will also back up to lead up to this verse with better context. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace to the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. Okay, quite a story for many reasons, but it ends with him and his household getting baptized. And so the point of the woman making this comment and challenging me is that if the entire household heard, and if we assume these were Jewish households, we could expect lots of kids, thus kids getting baptized too. And supposedly, this challenges my statement that water baptism should not be administered to babies. Okay, my response. First of all, just by way of reminder again, whenever I teach on baptism, I always acknowledge that different people have different viewpoints, and this need not be a matter that divides churches. And so, if your view of baptism is different than mine, I respect that. I have no quarrel with you. However, just because I don't believe in dividing over an issue, that doesn't mean I won't speak the truth about an issue. The scripture is very clear that baptism is a conscious choice made by believers. It could be of all ages, but it's made by believers as a conscious choice. And accuracy is important in its own right. Among other places, I do have detailed podcasts, several of them, on the subject of baptism, my explanations as to its meaning, and my case that it was a conscious way of repenting can be found right here on the CGM Radio Network. Go to the back shows. So I won't repeat them right now. Instead, I will respond only to the challenge in this comment. First of all, it's interesting that this woman offering her correction jumps immediately to the conclusion that these are Jewish families. That's quite a leap, quite an assumption, and I think there's a reason for this leap. I get the distinct impression that this was a Hebrew roots adherent. Now, she didn't say that, so maybe I'm wrong, but that is my educated guess. Hebrew roots people tend to look at everything in Scripture through the lens of Judaism. Now, as you know, I myself am a Jewish Christian, but I reject a great deal of the Hebrew roots movement, and that's yet another series of back podcasts that you can listen to. For now, however, there is zero reason to believe that Lydia is Jewish, just starting with Lydia. This city of Philippi is a Roman colony, and Lydia comes from Thyatira, a Greek city in the Asia Minor. Is it possible that Lydia was Jewish? Oh, sure. It's possible because of the diaspora, Jews were found everywhere. Paul encountered them constantly as he traveled Greece and the Asia Minor. So yes, it is possible that Lydia was Jewish, but it's unlikely. And I say this because Luke goes out of his way to tell us that she already believes in God. That's a statement that would have been obvious and unnecessary if she was Jewish. Luke would have just said she was Jewish. By pointing out that she believes in God, he means this is a Gentile who believes in God. In the years leading up to the time of Jesus, many Greeks and other Gentiles did come to believe in the Jewish God. So I think Lydia was a Gentile who believed in the Jewish God. That is the best explanation for Luke's elaboration. As for the Philippian jailer, he would more than likely have been a Greek or a Roman. Remember, when the complaint went out to the magistrate, they talked about things the Jews were doing to their cities. It's very unlikely that a Jew would have been put in a position of legal authority like that. Be that as it may, fine, let's suppose for the moment that these are Jewish families we're talking about. Well, then, in our study of Jewish families, we must remind ourselves that they were very tight-knit even to adulthood. And so young adults could still be living with their parents. Could be a big family and not necessarily have any children as we think of children. But okay, I'll flex even more. Maybe these were families with an abundance of young children, Jewish children in Jewish families, or Greek children in Greek families. None of that goes against any point I have made. Of course children can be baptized if they are old enough to make the choice. A 6-year-old, even a 5-year-old, is capable of making that choice. It is only the baptism of infants who have no idea what's going on. That's what I'm challenging. The only way that these passages could have been used to support infant baptism would have been through a candid mention that these families did indeed baptize actual infants. We read no such thing. This argument, sincere as it may be, is an argument based on silence, and arguments based on silence are not the most compelling arguments in the world. Be that as it may, I will once again end where I started. While the Bible is clear about baptism, we unite as Christians based on our understanding of the cross and the atonement for our sins, not the temperature of the water. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.